every CFO or COO or CEO, their consumers are demanding sustainability, guaranteed, because they're not demanding unsustainability. But doing the research and actually determining what is sustainable is, I think it's more difficult than most people realize. It's easy to market it. It's hard to actually do it. And thankfully, more and more consumers are holding brands responsible, saying like, no, that's sustainable-ish. Like they're just calling people out on it.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. Did you know that plastic could be more sustainable than paper? Wait, what? Well, to understand sustainability, you need to analyze the complete product life cycle, identify your KPIs for the critical material waste, and find out how much total waste you have in the entire product life cycle. If you did this, you might learn that paper usage resulted in wasting some other key resources as the product moved through the supply chain. This is why sustainability is more challenging than you think, and it requires careful analysis and positioning. Otherwise, these efforts are likely to fire back once influencers and consumers learned that you didn't mean what you stated on your marketing material. In this episode, our guest, Adam Peake, shares his insights on how sustainability initiatives can help your brand's strategic growth. He also discusses why you can't fake sustainability and why that's likely to fire back more than helping. Finally, he outlines why executing sustainable strategies is more challenging than you would think, as it requires a deep understanding of your materials and the entire product life cycle, starting from procuring raw materials to consumers consuming or discarding them. Let me introduce Adam to you. Adam Peake has 15 years in packaging with experiences ranging from purchasing to sales and marketing. He has 15,000 followers on LinkedIn and is a host of the People of Packaging podcast with over 25,000 downloads in 4 seasons. He is the third most interesting packaging person on TikTok. Adam Peake helps companies connect with their customers using printed packaging and technology. He is a gap-selling certified trainer and an EMBA from Quantic School of Business and Technology with a focus on supply chain and blockchain TEDx Salt Lake City speaker. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hey, Adam. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for having me on. I'm stoked to talk about a passion of mine that I've really kind of built my career around. So I'm excited you had me on. Thanks.
This is going to be a blast for me because anytime I host a podcaster, a fellow podcaster, typically they have millions of stories and those stories are super compelling. So this is going to be my day, brother. To kick things off, do you want to start with your personal story and current focus item?
Yeah. So I got into packaging and specifically sustainable packaging or sustainability within packaging roughly 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm actually a pastor by trade. So that's what I thought I was going to do for the rest of my life was preach and travel around the world and be an evangelist and a bringer of good news. And in roughly about 5 years, and I still do that. I still preach at a church. I still get to go do that. But I settled on packaging as my career because I realized it's this $1 trillion global industry that nobody was talking about. And I'm like, we sit at the precipice of you know, this super impactful thing, which is climate change, and we can actually do things about it in this industry.
Yeah.
Why is nobody out there creating content, talking about what we can do, talking, you know, bringing good news, bringing hope into the world when it comes to just innovations that are occurring within the packaging industry and why that would matter for the everyday person? Sam, so a couple of points on the packaging industry, and then we want to dig into it, but everybody is a packaging buyer.
Yeah.
Think about that. Every single person buys packaging. So if you own a thing, then you probably own the packaging and you got to do something with it. You got to throw it away. You got to recycle it. You got to reuse it.
Yeah.
But you are now the owner of that. So packaging is an everybody industry. It's an everybody problem.
Yeah.
And along with that, if you look around your room right now or wherever you're listening to this, you look around your room, everything is there in that room and packaging played a role.
Yep. Yep.
It had to get it there. And so it's this massive industry. And I've been blessed to be able to I gave a TEDx Salt Lake City talk. I host a podcast on it. I've worked in the industry for about 15 years now. Host a clubhouse room. I'm writing a kid's book about it. I love the industry so much. So yeah, lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, and I think there are some similarities overall in your profession, which was, you know, you wanted to be a tester and now you are doing sustainable packaging. I think we really need to preach a lot, to be honest, if people really want to take advantage of this opportunity. So good job there, that there are some similarities in those those two professions. Okay, so we have the next question that is going to be slightly more standard for everybody, that come on the show, but we want to know how you think, okay? And that is going to be your perspective on business growth, Adam.
So my perspective on business growth is, and I can really, I don't have a sense of global business growth. And so I can really only speak to, you know, to really the U.S. market and what I've been able to see here in the United States. And again, through the lens of, you know, you heard like through the lens of packaging and sustainability is, I think if you see what's happening politically, if you follow what's happening culturally in the U.S., if you look at the values that are espoused by the millennial generation, is a massive generation of people.
Yeah.
I believe it's bigger than the baby boomers.
Yeah.
You see what's happening in Maine, the state of Maine right now, where they're putting extended producer responsibility into law.
Yeah.
California just changed their recycling laws. There's a lot of attention being paid. And then you add on to that supply chain issues and constraints that are occurring. I think CPG companies that have to use packaging that are not focused on how to do that in the most sustainable way. And I'm happy to dig in with you, Sam, on the definition of sustainability, because I think it'll surprise some people.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing that in a sustainable way, then there will be no market share for you to go grab. You will not be able to grow simply because of you can complain about the culture if you want to, but it just is the reality of market dynamics in a capitalistic society. Is this is what people are demanding. And if you're not going to do it, you do it at you make that decision at your own, I would believe, your own potentially slow demise, but it'll be the demise nonetheless. You cannot effectively grow a business if you're not focused on doing so sustainably.
Okay, so we are definitely interested in digging deeper into that. I mean, obviously, that's a very tall claim, you know, sustainability and growth. I don't think people talk in the same context. So it'll be interesting to know why you are making such a tall claim. So number one, obviously, we want you to define the definition of sustainability, but I am actually going to throw a twist there. So I want you to define that in the form of a story. So obviously, how sustainability is hot, you know, how $1 trillion market this is. But that's about everything, right? I mean, if you read any piece of news, everybody's talking, you know, every single opportunity is going to be a $1 trillion opportunity. So let's talk about a real deal here, okay? A real business that has incorporated sustainability as part of their business model. So maybe provide some context into, you know, what was the real business problem that they were trying to solve and how it really helped them grow.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to tell a story. It's actually not my story. A gentleman named Pierre Pinard, who's the president of the World Packaging Organization, told this to me on my podcast. And I think it's a really compelling story because it's small. And then I'll tell kind of a larger scale one that compares with it. But so he told me a story about a farmer's market in Africa.
Yeah.
And they were selling coffee.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the coffee was relatively the same. One vendor was only selling it in a paper bag, and the other vendor had it in a film bag. It was made from plastic. And the story is going to go a different direction than you might think it is, where we're talking about sustainability. So he noticed that the vendor with the film bag, the poly bag, had a longer line and had more people going to it than the one with the just the paper bag.
Okay.
And so when he dug into that and he was like, well, what's going on here?
Yeah.
He realized that the vendor that was making more money, that was selling more product, that had lower waste was the one with the proper packaging, which was this plastic bag.
Okay.
Now plastic versus paper, people would say, well, the paper is obviously more sustainable.
Yeah.
But it was not, because the paper vendor, that bag, they had to throw away their coffee at the end of every single day, and their coffee degraded in value as the day went on, because it didn't have the right barrier. Coffee is very susceptible to oxygen. It's very susceptible to moisture.
Yeah.
So they were discarding their product while this other, and he went to them and said, I'd like to buy you some film bags with proper barrier.
Yeah.
He reported back that vendor had 3x'd their sales because their coffee was fresher. They didn't have to throw it out as much. They made more money on it. So here's the point from that story, is that when you're looking at sustainability with packaging, the first thing you need to ask is, does it effectively protect my product? Your product is going to have 10 times greater impact on carbon than the packaging will. And so picking the right materials to effectively protect your product from, you know, from its inception all the way through until your consumer uses it, is the most critical aspect of sustainability. And it directly ties into everything else: finances, carbon impact, you know, marketability, branding, all of that stuff. Your packaging has to definitively take care of the product in the best way possible. So here in the US, we see this in the growth and even the transition away from like large giant plastic tubs into what are called, you know, folded or stand-up pouches.
Yeah.
That transition has occurred in a lot of food brands because food is actually the third largest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions in the world, food waste rather.
Yeah.
And we can better protect products using, even though they have non-recyclable end of life, these bags.
Yeah.
But it's far greater for the environment when we use the right material, because the food lasts a lot longer. It gets into people's mouths. Your waste is less. You can scale up production, so you can have a greater quantity of mass. All sorts of benefits that all occur because of right size packaging and the correct packaging.
Yeah, this is a very interesting story. I absolutely love it because, you know, if you actually talk to anybody in the community, their definition of sustainability, they are probably going to be thinking that, you know what, it's going to be plastic versus paper, newspaper, that's more sustainable, as simple as that. But here you are talking about a very different concept, and you are measuring sort of the waste in the entire product cycle, if I understand this right. So now let's see, if I am the business and if I want to measure this as well, okay, sustainability is going to drive some sort of, you know, growth, and, you know, I am actually protecting my product as well. So how do I do this assessment, whether, you know, I'm doing the assessment for a specific line or for my product, number one, whether it is sustainable or not, and how that is going to help me in protecting my product more?
Yeah, so I tend to walk people through, specifically brands, I'll walk through there are like four buckets that you can go through, the four buckets of sustainability. So one is what I just talked about. The first and foremost is, does it protect the package? Does it protect the product?
Yeah.
It has to protect the product. If you're not working with a packaging engineer or a firm or a consultant, I'm not a packaging engineer, but if you don't have somebody to do the analysis on what is the absolute best material for your product, whether it's electronics, whether it's food, you need to have that person.
Yeah.
And that gets missed a lot. Number two is, does it protect the planet? So a secondary concern is, of course, we want to make sure if all things are equal, well, can it be recycled? Can it be composted? Is it biodegradable? What's the impact on the environment? Of course, we want to look at that.
Yeah.
And you can conduct a life cycle analysis or LCAs to extrapolate that data. And that is obviously a critical component of it. So it's the product, it's the planet. And third is, does it protect our profits? Like, you can spend. So I'll give you an example on film. So film, you know, plastic films are attacked often.
Yeah.
And so there's a movement towards compostable films, which are, you know, they're from what's called PLA, which is polylactic acid, which comes from corn.
Yeah.
It's a bio-based, all this sort of stuff. Except for those films currently are about 8 to 10 times more expensive.
Okay.
Than and they don't provide as similar a protection. So it's maybe a little bit less valuable for your product, which means that your waste will go up and you're going to be spending more on your cost of goods sold. So you have to take that in consideration. Will the market bear the cost increase of new and innovative packaging? Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but you've got to do that analysis. And then finally is, will it land with your brand? So you might have a brand that can't be recognized if you switch from, you know, for example, white paper, you know, bleached white paper to a craft paper. You may get lost on the store shelf, which is a massive problem for sustainability, because now you have product waste, your product's not selling, it's not moving, your profits are down, and you can't actually sustain business without that. So that's where I, you know, and it's really specific brand to brand to brand on what they, you know, what they value and what they'll quite frankly compromise on when it comes to those four things.
Okay, so very interesting perspective again. And, you know, I am going to ask you one more question, because, you know, the underlying thread here is you are tracking the waste in the entire value chain. So typically, if you look at the manufacturing companies, some manufacturing companies are great, some are not as matured in their production processes, right? They might be tracking waste inside their facility. So for example, let's say if you have a production process, they might be tracking, you know what, if I produce 100 gallons of goods, then probably 10 gallons I'm going to be wasting, right? So they have that sort of sense. Sometimes they are going to have really deep understanding of how much waste they have. Sometimes they are not. But here, we are going one level deeper, okay? In this particular case, what you are doing is you are not only tracking the waste inside the four walls of your facility, you also have a sense of the waste when your product is going to land in the hands of your consumer. So you need to have that understanding that, okay, what is happening with the product after consumers are going to actually either use it, you know, they are going to keep it with them, or whatever they are doing with them, right? And the entire life cycle of the product, basically. Now, a lot of companies don't really have that understanding. So in your experience, and you can probably talk about one more story, how companies really track what is happening with the product after the customers are customers have really bought it, how they have collected this data to make sure that there is a real waste before they try to solve something. Have you seen any how companies are measuring this?
Yeah, so that's a tough number to get to, obviously. It's the one that I think people can get to. You know, you can what's the book, Measure What Matters? Like, you can measure what matters, and you can really only measure what you can control. So most manufacturing companies will have sort of their pre-production waste, and there's going to be a spoilage rate in terms of just like, what's it going to take to make this thing?
Yeah.
And that is a component of sustainability. And it's directly tied to profitability, right? You want the least amount of spoilage possible. And then you also have your post-production waste. But and then things like product returns.
Yeah.
So and a lot of product returns occur because of improper packaging.
Right.
So it shows up damaged, you know, something happens to it. That is the worst, because you spent all of this energy to ship the product directly to your customer and they go, I don't really want it.
Yeah.
And then they ship it all the way back.
Yeah.
And now you got to do something with it again. And maybe you can't resell it. Now it's got to go to a landfill. It's got like, it's bad. So in terms of, you know, measuring the impact, so there are ways that we can start to measure impact of, you know, for example, rates of recycling.
Yeah.
IBM is currently working on some blockchain technology.
Yeah.
Along with like optical scanning at recycling centers using a solution called Digimark. And so you could actually scan in to say like, hey, I put this item into the recycling bin and it would actually gets recycled,
yeah.
it would, that would create a, that would, and you can start to report out to brands, like what's happening with your waste. Is it contributing to a circular economy? And that's only going to ramp up, that type of technology. It's certainly not full scale at all right now, but there are companies looking to track, data when it comes, but you know, can a spaghetti company track the usage of, you know, if somebody only uses 90% of their spaghetti and then throws away the other 10%, I just don't know. That would be a really intrusive number, right? That would be tough to, that'd be tough to gather. But you know, there are, for there's I want to say it's Colgate Palmolive has a new toothpaste, a new form of toothpaste packaging.
Yeah,
that where they put a really slick coating on the inside of their toothpaste packaging that's not only mono material, so it's curbside recyclable, but it also allows you to much easier squeeze and get out 100% or close to 100% of the product, which again is a sustainability issue. You know, you're now not throwing away 10% of the product because you couldn't just barely get it squeezed out. They've worked with coating companies, and again, it's a packaging issue, right? They worked with coating companies to be able to get every last discernible drop out and make sure that material is made from 100% of the same material so that you can just drop it in your recycling bin. So there, you know, there are some ways that companies are trying to make sure that there's not a waste there, but I, other than anecdotally, I don't know how they would know what it is.
Yeah,
post-consumer.
So, yeah, without getting too far, I guess, you know, if we talk about some of the small to medium sized businesses, I mean, one of the things that they might be able to do is just going through the consumer surveys in understanding, you know, how they are utilizing the product, how, you know, if there is any sort of waste, especially if you are trying to find out, you know, what do they do with the product afterwards. Let's say if you talk about the coffee example in your case, I mean, they might be able to do the consumer surveys to be able to find, okay, how long are you able to keep that coffee and are you, you know, wasting anything after you are not able to drink, let's say after 5 minutes, what do you do with it? So that could be one way of doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the overarching waste is a great trigger, and I absolutely appreciate that. So let's dig into some of the other stories that you had, and let's talk about, you know, if the overarching waste is going to be the underlying thread that is going to enable us to analyze, okay, if there might be any opportunities where we might be able to increase sales because of packaging. So what about other stories that you had? Do you want to dig in, into those?
Yeah, for sure. So there's a great brand that I helped kind of helped bring to market. It's called Gia, G-H-I-A.
Okay.
And they make there's a big like low, no alcohol movement in the United States.
Okay.
Where, you know, people don't want to consume alcohol, but they also want to be able to go enjoy the social elements of, you know, going to a bar, excuse me, having a drink, hanging out, enjoying the drink. It's not just water or club soda.
Yep.
Or even like regular soda. And so I worked on this project with Gia. They have this, it's a spritzer, and it's a aperitif spritzer, and it's an aluminum can. So aluminum is a really, really powerful packaging material.
Yeah.
It is energy intensive to mine,
yeah,
which is why aluminum can recycling is so critically important, because we need to, it can stay in perpetuity in infinitely if it's properly labeled and recycled. And so when I was working with the brand owner, he was like, well, how do I positively contribute to this? Because if you don't know this right now, there is an aluminum can allocation issue.
Yeah.
We don't have enough production to meet demand for aluminum cans.
Yeah.
And so you can only get blank cans. Many of these brands can. So he's like, well, I need to put a label on it. And how does that label impact recycling, because his consumers are very, you know, eco-conscious.
Okay.
And so, you know, I put him in touch with a recycling center. We were able to devise a wet strength paper label that was put on there. And it's really awesome how it's labeled. There's like five different labels on the roll and it goes on there. Anyway, the whole thing was done with the idea of premium decoration, because it's a premium product that's going to be sold for a premium price point, but it still had to contribute positively to have a good sustainable impact. And so we were able to go through and check off all those. Aluminum is a great material.
Yeah.
It's not going to cause a lot of waste.
Yeah.
It's on brand with what he's doing. It fit within his cost model.
Yeah.
And it contributed positively to a circular environment. And he's killing it right now. I mean, his brand is blowing up, it's exploding. He's in all sorts of different, you know, bars and restaurants and getting into different retail environments. It's a really cool story to see him have such a focus on packaging and how that would drive value for his brand and for his customers. So I don't know if that's a helpful story or not, but I thought it was really neat to, I love when I'm able to partner with somebody who's like, I have this idea, and then it comes to life, and it comes to life in kind of a bigger way. It is I think a really cool and inspiring story for me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so when we are hearing from the consumers, they care for sustainability. I mean, every executive out there is going to do something about it, because if it is the customer that is saying that, you know what, I really do care for this. And if I'm going to pay $5 more for the product, I mean, I don't know. I mean, who would not want $5?
Can I jump in there, though? Yeah. Because I'll push back a little bit on that.
Okay.
And here's why. Because there's a weird disconnect that occurs where if you were to send a survey to a consumer, nobody's going to say that they are unsustainable, right? Yeah. Like, no one's going to say, we need more dead baby seals. Like, of course, no one's going to throw that out there. And, you know, nobody really wants that. But where I see a lot of executives begin to falter on this is that the question doesn't then become, how are we holistically sustainable?
Yeah.
And it's a dangerous thing, because then the question becomes, how do we market ourselves as sustainable? That's the wrong question. Marketing your sustainability should come from within. It should be naturally occurring, because it's just you're doing the right things for your brand, for your people. You're not bending your brand to the whims of what people think is actually sustainable. And there's some resolve that has to occur there from brands, because I see a lot, the term is greenwashing. Another term is called wish cycling, where it's like, well, our people want our stuff to be recyclable, so we'll just slap the, you know, please recycle logo on there. Well, your stuff isn't actually recyclable. You're misleading people, but you're making your consumers feel better about it. And that's a problem. So, well, yeah, of course, if it is being demanded, but brands have to be really resolved in saying, no, this is why. Like, there's a company called Vita5, and they're a vitamin company.
Yeah.
And Vita5, if you go to Target, it's the only company without, like, they're not putting their gummy vitamins into a standard bottle with a label on it.
Yeah.
It's coming in a bag. Again, the bag is not recyclable, but what they're saying is true. It increases the shelf life of their products. It uses 97% less plastic than a standard bottle is, or you know. So they market what is true about their product in a way that is not greenwashing. They just slap a recycle logo on it, because you couldn't actually recycle their film anyways. So, you know, I think that they did a really good job of communicating what is true, staying true to their values, and using the right material for what their values were. So I wanted to jump in there, because it's like, of every CFO or COO or CEO, their consumers are demanding sustainability, guaranteed, because they're not demanding unsustainability. But doing the research and actually determining what is sustainable is, I think, it's more difficult than most people realize. It's easy to market it. It's hard to actually do it. And thankfully, more and more consumers are holding brands responsible, saying like, no, that's sustainable-ish. Like, they're just calling people out on it.
Okay. So let me make sure I follow this. Okay. So I want to make sure that, number one, I understand this, and, you know, we are going to do something about it. So, okay. So you are saying that if I do my surveys, and I'm the executive right now of a manufacturing company, obviously, you know, from my perspective, you mentioned that, you know what, I should be doing right things. Sure. I mean, we are going to be doing the right things. It's always, you know, very subjective in terms of what is right. For me, my biggest priority always is going to be what is in the best interest of my company, my employees. That's my biggest priority. Obviously, I care for the society and sustainability as well. If everything is going to come along with whatever I'm doing, I'm probably going to do it. If I have a compelling reason, such as growth, if I can grow my product line because of the sustainability initiative, my job becomes easier, because I can sell it to my board, I can sell it to my fellow executives, I can sell it to my team, why we are doing something that we are doing. So now let's go back to that story. So you said that, you know what, if you are going to ask consumers to care for sustainability, obviously they are not going to be very expressive that, you know what, I definitely do care for sustainability. Sometimes they might care, but they might not say it. So I get it. Okay. Now you are saying that, you know, you should be doing the right thing for your product. That is also something that I understand, that if you can increase the life of your product, then obviously the growth is going to come naturally. You are going to be more sustainable. Your product is going to make sense. Your consumers are going to like you more, you know, because it's the right thing to do for your product. Now, the place where I am losing you is going to be where you said that, you know what, don't say that, you know, this is the sustainable effort. In my experience, unless you pitch, how would people know who you are, what you really care for? Okay. So here you are saying, do the sustainable things, but don't talk about it.
No. I hope I wasn't saying that at all. Okay. What I meant is don't be misleading. Don't only do it
just like, for the sake of doing it, I guess.
Just for the sake of doing it, because everyone's going to demand it anyways. Like, don't just say it actually, because you can skirt some truth.
Yeah.
Around, you know, there are things that people can say that, you know, you just go like, okay, well, we've done our sustainability thing. And that's not, of course, if you're doing good work, market the crap out of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, talk about how great it is, because you're going to grow your product. Of course, you should do that.
Yeah.
But understand that, you know, let's talk about, so California just signed in a new truth in recycling law.
Yeah.
Which means if you're going to sell products to California, which is like almost everybody, if you're going to like, you will get fined if you are if you're just putting what I call the Chasing Arrows logo.
Yeah.
Most it's like 7.8% of plastic in the US is actually recycled.
Yeah.
But people don't realize this. They just dump their plastic into the recycling bin. Most of it does not end up getting recycled.
Yeah.
Number one and number two, which is PET and HDPE, those get recycled at a really high rate. Outside of that, not much of it is. Polypropylene doesn't get recycled very, very well. Polystyrene and the like. So California said, well, enough of that. You can only put on there what can actually be effectively recycled on your packaging, which is going to be huge, because it's going to mean that there's going to be brands who are going to have to figure out, well, do we pivot into a different material so that we can still keep making these claims? Or do we put on our packaging some form of, like, I don't know, just throw it away in the trash, which no brand really wants to do.
Yeah.
But California is kind of pushing it.
Yeah.
And I'm super fascinated to follow that. So that's the thing that I'm talking about is know what you're communicating.
Yeah.
There's a coffee bag that I saw the other day. Oh my gosh, it drove me crazy. And it was like, it was all craft papery and, you know, had green stuff all over it, and it had like the leaf and everything. And it said, this bag is made from 50% compostable material.
Yeah.
Sam, there's no such thing as 50% compostable material. There's 100% compostable material, or there is 0%
compostable. Oh boy.
I mean, so technically, was it made from 50% paper? Of course it was made from but the bag itself could not be 50% composted. The bag needed to be thrown away in the garbage, but they made it seem so beautiful and sustainable and green. And I'm like, no, it's hurting us right now.
Agree.
It's not helping us. So anyway, there's a little soapbox for you.
No, I mean, that soapbox is good, to be honest. I mean, that actually puts things in perspective. So I'm completely with you that, you know, I am personally a big fan of ethical selling. Okay, anything that you are going to say on your product or service, you have to mean it. Especially for the long term, for your brand, for your business, for your credibility. This could be a very greedy approach that today you are going to say, you know what, I am 50% compostable, but you don't even know what that means. And somebody is going to figure this out. They are going to post it on social media. You are going to face a lot of trouble because of that, because these days, you know what? You can't really fake it. You have to really mean whatever you are trying to do. So I'm completely with you on that, that, you know what, just don't put a stand there just because, you know, sustainability is hard and everybody's kind of buying it and you are going to increase your price just because you are able to do that. So really appreciate these stories. Do you have any other stories that you can share So, okay. So if I just try to recap in terms of the story. So number one, obviously, is going to be, you know, how can you really mean the sustainability and increase the life of your product? Now, that is going to add real value to your business. That is also going to add real value to your consumers because they are able to consume the product far more than they would. And at the same time, you are actually being sustainable, which is helpful for the business, for the society, you know, for the ecosystem as well. And the other case that you mentioned where you are saying that, you know what, if you are running any of the initiative, really do it and mean it and then market the hell out of it, obviously. I mean, that's the most important part always. You know, but yep. Just don't market if, you know, that is not going to be helpful. Have you seen any other scenarios other than this that, you know, either the sustainability is going to be driven by, let's say, consumers or by the life of the product, or it is going to be really when you are analyzing and trying to see, how can I incorporate this as part of my helping the product itself so that that's going to, you know, happen naturally? Have you seen anything else in your experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there, we could talk for hours about the companies I've been able to work with who are implementing and changing and iterating, you know, towards you know, different levels of sustainability. I'll say this about sort of your wrap up is a couple of principles that I try to help companies understand.
Okay.
Number one, if we can't agree on the problem, then we won't agree on the solution.
Yep,
so if it, from a sustainability perspective, if the problem is, you know, if you say the problem is that we need less plastic in society, we need less plastics in the ocean.
Yeah.
If that's the problem you're trying to solve, understand that the trade-off may be that you are contributing more to greenhouse gas emissions. It might be, right?
Yeah.
And you need to be okay with that, right? You need to agree and be resolute on the problem you're trying to help solve, or we're trying to reduce the amount of packaging we use or lightweight the amount of packaging we use because we don't want to be filling up landfills. Cool. Let's agree on the problem or problems we're trying to solve so that we can tether our solutions to whatever that is.
Yeah.
And so the second one would be this. It depends on who you talk to. The packaging industry is pretty big. There's a lot of different disciplines, 50 different disciplines within the packaging industry. I don't certainly know everything about everything, right?
Yeah.
But you, as you're going down, if you're a company that wants to go down this journey,
yeah.
Everybody will have a problem with somebody else's material.
Okay.
So, and here's what I mean by that is the people who are making paper-based products are going to talk about how evil plastics are. And the plastic people are going to talk about the carcinogens that are caused from paper mills and how they're causing cancer and PFAS in the environment.
Yep.
And then the aluminum people are going to talk about how everyone's just going to, because they're all trying to gather, you know, different things. And you're going to have consumers who will come out and say, well, you know, the impact of mining aluminum is X. And again, if you are resolved in the problem that you're trying to solve, then you can be resolved in the answers that you're going to give, because everybody you're going to be somebody else's heretic. It just does not matter what you pick.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the material. Somebody's going to have a problem with it, and you need to be able to answer to them and be okay with it. And so, you know, that's probably, you know, from a story perspective, I know that's pretty high level, but those are some principles I really try to carry into any meeting that I have with a brand is let's understand the problem we're trying to solve and also understand there's going to be trade-offs and people are going to be mad because somebody's got an agenda somewhere. And if your packaging vendor is constantly telling you how great their stuff is and how awful everyone else is, they're probably wrong. They should be able to tell you what's wrong with their stuff.
Yeah.
And let you know what the compromise is.
Yeah. So that's a very, very, very interesting way of putting this. And especially, you know, that, you know, we all have to agree on the problem first. And I like the way you have put it that, you know what, you are always going to have trade-offs when you are looking at any of the packaging material. In my experience, when I talk to any of the sustainability practitioners, they come across as very passionate and they really want to fix either plastics or aluminum. Sometimes that could come across as, you know what, yes, I get it that you are passionate, but you know what, we have to run the business here as well. So I like your approach that, you know, you need to take a little bit of moderate approach and you need to figure out how you are going to measure the KPIs, I would say, right? So I don't know if there is a structured method in terms of measuring these KPIs. That, okay, my overarching goal is I am going to be reducing the waste for the society. Sometimes, you know, it might mean that I'm going to be making contributions in the greenhouse gas or whatever, and maybe, you know, something I may have to do. But my overarching goal is I am trying to fix the overarching waste because of my either facility or product or whatever I'm trying to do here while running this company. Do you have any sort of structured framework in terms of designing these KPIs? So what are some of the KPIs that you might be able to recommend to executives in deciding this this framework?
Yeah, for sure. So the first thing you need to do, if that let's take this example, because there's all sorts of different KPIs that you can go down depending on what you're trying to accomplish. So let's say it's we want to reduce the amount of waste.
Yeah.
Well, to reduce something, you need to understand your current state. So what currently do you have?
Right.
And surprisingly, most companies don't know what they actually are using.
Yep.
And they can find it out, but. So like, getting all of your data into, you know, to one spot, there's like packaging specification data management software, like this company called SpecRite. You know, you can go to a SpecRite, you can pull in all of your data.
Yeah.
So you can at least have a baseline of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then the best way to go about this is number one, reduce. So look at, let's say you have paper boxes.
Yeah.
And those paper boxes are with what's called, you know, a 24-point SBS.
Yeah.
Well, can we take that 24-point down to 20-point?
Sure.
And that 4 points is going to mean a reduction in, you know, I'm trying to do the math, 1/6 of that, you know, whatever that percentage is.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know, 18%. So you have an 18% reduction now.
Yeah.
That's a big win.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're going to also see a cost reduction in that.
Yeah.
So you go look at your bottles, you go look at your caps, you go look at your labels, you go look at your label liner. You know, is it a 2.1 mil film liner? Can you get that down to a 0.92 film liner?
Yeah.
All of these little incremental wins that you can then track and measure so that you can report out if you have like an end of year sustainability goal. Amazon is great about doing this. They're constantly reporting out, you know, what their savings, how they're reducing waste. You know, we kept 2 billion shipping boxes out of the landfills because we did, you know, X change. So those are the KPIs, but you have to first understand what you have.
Right.
And then go through each thing and figure out how can we reduce this?
Yeah.
Can we reduce it? Can we eliminate it?
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just over packaging. And what would that elimination mean? And then you can go execute on. It's pretty low hanging fruit to reduce the amount of packaging and therefore reduce your overall spend on packaging and reduce your obsolescence using, you know, JIT inventory and stuff like that. So measure your obsolescence, measure what your current packaging is, and then you create your KPIs around that.
So I am going to have to ask you this question, you know, since you mentioned the software, right? And you also mentioned the trade-offs. So do these software come with some sort of, you know, what if scenario? So let's say, for example, you mentioned that, you know what, I can reduce, you know, whatever metric you were talking about related to paper, that, you know, a couple of points I'm going to go down, but because of that, I'm going to increase something else. So do they come with some sort of, you know, what a scenario where I can analyze, you know, if I bring this down, okay, what is going to be the impact on the other things that I may have on my production line or maybe as the overall in the product portfolio?
Yeah, I know that I know at one point in time, SpecRite, which is the tech company that I mentioned that does the specification management, was, I know they have an integration with this thing, for example, called TOPS, which allows you to maximize how you build out a shipping pallet, which again, that's not a sexy sustainability metric, but the more product right now, shipping is a big problem.
Right.
Finding truck drivers is a big problem. So maximizing your pallet usage using a program like TOPS, or even saying, hey, if we reduce our internal packaging size by an eighth of an inch, we can actually increase, you know, by 23% how much more we put onto a pallet. That's a big win for your pocketbook and for sustainability because you're using less energy. I believe that they're also working on an integration with the technology called Compass.
Yeah.
And Compass is an LCA, which is a life cycle analysis company that allows you to conduct and see, okay, what's the climate impact on one material versus the other material? And you can actually do You can do the analysis and create your own reports that way. If you don't have, if you're not working with a compass, there are typically consultants that'll come in and do that, but that's going to be that's going to be an expensive way to get the data. I think if it hasn't already happened, it will happen in the future. Well, you'll be able to do, you know, a quick comparison. Okay, I went from 24 point to 20 point. What was my carbon impact? Okay, it was X. Cool. Yeah. And then you can take all that data and report it out.
Okay, amazing. So
it's some cool stuff. Yeah.
So that's it for today. Adam, do you have any last minute closing thoughts or remarks for our listeners?
Yeah, if you love packaging, I create a lot of content about packaging. So I host the People of Packaging podcast. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, I've got my calendar link on my website, which is adampeak.com. You can just go there, you can click it. If you're feeling especially generous, you can buy me a coffee. There's a little link there that says buy me a coffee. But I love the packaging industry. I post about it every day on LinkedIn. We can connect up there. It's a fascinating industry that is doing a lot of good work. We need to get better. And I'm excited to partner with people who want to do the same.
Okay, amazing. And my personal takeaway from this conversation is going to be, I am going to be completely honest here. Even though I sort of cared for sustainability, but I did not as much because I could not see the business opportunity in sustainability. So today you have opened my eyes that, you know, everything, whether you are talking about how you are going to be maximizing the space when you are doing the movement on your, while you are shipping the product, right? The sustainability could play a bigger role overall in the supply chain. So definitely there is something to think about it. If you are not thinking about it, you have to pay attention to it. On that note, Adam, I really want to thank you for your time. This has been a powerful conversation.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate being on.
Of course. I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Adam or book an intro meeting, head over to myers.com. It's myers.com, or follow him on TikTok at Rev Adam Peak. It's RevAdamPeek. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. If anything in this podcast resonated with you and your business, you might want to check other related episodes, including the interview with Kara Golden, who shares her insights into how to develop non-traditional marketing channels for your new products. Also, the interview with Paul Benangeri, who shares his insights into the nuances of nano-influencer marketing. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.